ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. How many things are we to do without complaining? All things? Are you kidding me? Well, that's what it says. Why? We live in a world that is crooked and perverse, and we're to shine, not complain, but shine. Do you see the contrast? Give them hope. In Deuteronomy 1, verses 26 and 27, as Moses is reviewing the history of the nation of Israel, speaking of their refusal to enter the promised land, it says, "Nevertheless, you would not go up into the promised land, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.'" In other words, maybe you weren't doing this in public, but in your homes you were complaining. "Man, this isn't fair. Why did Moses bring us here? I can't believe God's doing this." And God says, "You know, son, I can hear you. You know, I hear everything you're saying." They complained back in the days of Moses. They complained in Paul's day. And we complain today. And I think this complaining before God and disputing with God leads to complaining and disputing with others. Why? Because our relationship with God has changed. Now it's all about me and not what God wants for my life. And that could be dangerous. If we're struggling with people, we need to check our relationship with the Lord, because that's really the problem. Many of us know this one from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, where Paul wrote, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." People go, "What's the will of God?" Well, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. There it is. What else you got? No, that's important. Listen to what he's saying. You know, he doesn't say rejoice when things are going well. It says rejoice always. How can we do that? Because our joy, our Christian joy, is not based in those outward circumstances, but in the Lord, and he never changes. Remember Habakkuk? It was the time that the Babylonians were coming in against the southern kingdom of Judah, invading the land, and things were a mess. And, you know, Habakkuk said, "You know, God, what's going on?" And the Lord's like, you won't believe me if I tell you. "Well, tell me, I'll believe you. Come on, tell me." "Well, I'm going to bring this wicked group of people, the Babylonians, and they're going to come and destroy you and take you into captivity." "I don't believe it." "I told you, you wouldn't believe it." But at the end of the book, something amazing changes in the life of Habakkuk. Instead of complaining, in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19, he says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." Wow. Habakkuk's saying, "Okay, I understand. It doesn't matter what's going on around me, how bad things may get, because I'm going to rejoice in Yahweh. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, because he is the one that will see me through all this stuff." In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, how can we give thanks for everything? Because they all work together for good. That's what Paul said in Romans. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Amplified Bible puts Romans 8:28 like this: "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." yeah, I don't always understand what God's doing, but boy, I trust what he's doing. I think that is so important, to trust God by faith, rest our weight fully upon him because he's on the throne. He's in control. Nothing happens without his knowledge. And I know it's hard at times, but he knows what's going on. Rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in everything to God, because it's the will of God for our lives. I love Psalm 100. Why don't you turn to Psalm 100 for a minute? Let's look at this psalm. Listen to what we're told here. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And we're told this: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, or Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Notice what the psalmist is saying here. Serve the Lord with gloominess. No? Doesn't say gloominess, huh? No. With gladness. If we change these words a little bit of Psalm 100, I know we'd never do that, but let me add something to this psalm. Because sometimes this is the way we are. And again, this is not how the psalm goes, but think about this. Make a loud complaint to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gloominess. Come before his presence with complaining. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with unthankfulness and into his courts with complaints. Be unthankful to him and put down his name. For the Lord is not nice. His mercy is short-lived, and his truth endures to some, but not to me. Again, we would never say that. But that's horrible, isn't it? I mean, I wonder when God looks at us what he sees. Now, I'm not here to beat you up or put you down, but we need to examine our hearts, examine our lives. What do people see when they look at us? How does God want us to enter his presence? Oh, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I don't know about you, but when we worship here, just the singing unto him, oh, it's so awesome, isn't it? That should be our life. Coming to worship the Lord should be a celebration, not a funeral. And the best way to enter into his presence is by thanking him for what he's done and praising him for who he is. And as the psalmist closes, he speaks of God's mercy being everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We can trust what God has said, his promises to us. And because of that, there's no room for me to complain. I look at all he's done. So instead of complaining, show yourself strong. Do the work instead of complaining, right? But let me also say this, because things can become so overwhelming in our lives, and that's really our next point. The work's too much for us. We're overwhelmed by it. Again, Joshua 17, look at verse 16. But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. Joshua, remember in verse 15, was trying to encourage them in this work and taking the land that God had given to them. But now they're looking at this task before them, and it's overwhelming. They're giants in the land. They had chariots. It's too much. We're tired of fighting. We're beat. And we've probably felt that way before. God has told us what he wants us to do. We're excited. And then the reality sets in. What in the world am I thinking? I can't do that. And that's the reality. We can't do it. But he can do it through us. And that's what he wants, us to rely on him. When the Lord called me to Wisconsin to be a pastor, I was confident in what he told me. There was no doubt in my mind. The moment he said that, I knew he was clearly speaking. And then some 10, 11 years passed by after he told me what he was going to do. Julie came home from the women's retreat in Indiana with this information about a church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin that needed a pastor because their pastor stepped down. And she gave me the phone number of one of the elders to call, and I was pretty excited about it. What in the world am I going to do? I don't know anyone in Wisconsin. I can't do this. I got to get a job. I got to sell my house. I have to buy a house in Wisconsin. I have to all these things, right? And fear all of a sudden gripped me for a few minutes there, even though I knew what God called me to do. Thank God it was short-lived, but that was the problem. I was looking at, what am I going to do? It was an eye problem. I'd left God out of the picture, and it's never a good thing. But once I focused back on the Lord, once I had prayed about it and knew what the Lord had put upon my life, it changed everything, and the rest is history. He did what he said he promised and more than I can ever imagine. So on this topic of, you know, the work is too much for us, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because it's the truth. We all know it. The work is too much for us. I mean, think about it. This small church, look at all that this little church does. It's kind of amazing. It's mind-boggling to think about a radio station running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Its program studies are edited. Music's put on there. It's incredible. I mean, we've been on the air for over 12 years. Other people that are in this industry are amazed that because we're a low-power FM station that we've been on that long. Yeah, I can't say it's because of us. It's because of the Lord. He's given us the people to do the work. Look at the missionaries we support. You know, it's crazy to see that many missionaries that we support when we're such a small church. But that's God. And that radio station, I'll tell you, affects so many people's lives. There are so many people that don't come here to Calvary that listen to the station that are being blessed. Someone just emailed me and told me that there was a woman who was having trouble sleeping and she had found our station and turned it on and was blessed listening to it, was refreshed by it. Thank you, Lord. You see what God does? All he wants us to do is take those steps of faith to trust in him. Yeah, the work is too much for us. It is. But if he's called us to it, won't he enable us to finish the work that he's called us to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. You just have to walk by faith. And really, because the work is too much for us, we're overwhelmed. The last point is really important. The encouragement to walk by faith. And look at how this is played out in verses 17 and 18 of Joshua chapter 17. And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the mountain country shall be yours, although it is wooded. You shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong." I like how this is played out. I love how this is played out. The tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, were fearful. They didn't believe they can gain this land in victory. They didn't believe that they could defeat these giants. And what does Joshua do? Listen, you're a great people. You have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it's wooded, you shall cut it down. And its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots are strong. He's encouraging them to take those steps of faith, the encouragement to walk by faith. The Lord not only calls us to the work, he not only equips us for what we are to do, but he encourages us to go forward, to walk by faith. Our Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, encourages us. I'll let you in on a little secret. Probably most of you aren't even aware of this, but you know, we've been doing Vacation Bible School for 9 years now. It'll be 10 years next year. I can't even believe it. And it's amazing how fast time goes by. And when this was first presented to me over 9 years ago to put on a Vacation Bible School, I really felt the Lord calling us to do that. I really felt the Lord saying, take that step of faith. And then there's a problem because I'm uncomfortable being in front of people. Even kids. And doing Vacation Bible School stretched me even more than just teaching, okay? The Lord has helped me through the teaching part here. But with Vacation Bible School, I not only had to teach the kids, I had to sing and dance. And here's my dancing. Okay? My singing, I won't do that because I don't want your ears to bleed, all right? I was kind of fearful to... I didn't know what I was going to do. Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? The Lord every year has blessed the children, the workers, and it's amazing. And I guess it's good that I'm fearful that I can't do this because I have to depend upon Him. But boy, I'm amazed. I mean, the kids are so gracious and merciful. They to see them dance and do the motions, you know, for the songs and stuff, so awesome. It blesses my heart. You know, that's all I need to see them, loving Jesus, singing unto Him. But I'll tell you, with Vacation Bible School, even Thursdays and Sundays teaching, the enemy loves to discourage. You know, it's been a while since this has happened, but for a long time there, man, it'd be a Thursday or a Sunday, and I'd be sitting in that chair. And all of a sudden, it'd be like, that's the message you have for them? Really? That's it? And you start to doubt yourself. You go, yeah, maybe it's not that good. What am I going to do? I don't know. And all of a sudden, Art and the worship team are up here. We're starting to worship the Lord. So my mind's all of a sudden changed. I'm not focusing on the message anymore. I'm focusing on the Lord. And by the time I get up here, He's changed my spirit. I'm calm. And all of a sudden, well, you know how I teach. I teach with passion because I believe that God's word is living and powerful. I believe He's speaking to us through it. That's the amazing thing about our God. Yes, it's difficult. There's fear. The enemy tries to discourage. But we can walk by faith because our Yeshua is encouraging us to go forward. You know, you may remember the story of Gideon, judge in Israel. And he's an interesting man. I think he's a lot like you and me. And, you know, you might not, Judges is the next book over. You may want to turn over to Judges 6. We're going to read verses 12 through 18. Looking at this man named Joshua and really his calling here. In Joshua, or Judges, excuse me, 6, starting in verse 12, we're told this. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring you out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." Now, it's kind of interesting. Gideon is threshing wheat in the wine press. The wine press was down low. You thresh wheat higher up because you want to, when you throw the wheat up in the air, you want it, the grain to fall to the ground, the rest to be blown away by the wind. But he's in a valley. He's down low, not catching the wind. And the Lord says, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And I'm sure Gideon's like, "Who's he talking to? I'm hiding out down here." But isn't that us? "Joe, I've called you to do this." Is there another Joe here? "What, me? Are you kidding me? How can I save Israel?" he says. "Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." That's how we are. God called Gideon. He encouraged Gideon, and I think He does the same with us, guys. What has the Lord put upon your heart? What has He called you to do? And maybe you put it on the back burner. Maybe you're waiting for some big sign in the sky or some voice to call to you. God speaks through His word. You need to listen, and then you need to obey, and then you need to walk by faith. He speaks through circumstances or situations, and He makes it clear what we need to do. I've seen it with Vacation Bible School. God was speaking to me and opening that door, but I needed to walk by faith. When He called me up here to Wisconsin, He opened the door, but I had to walk by faith. And the wonderful thing is if we're listening, if we're looking, He's always encouraging us. He's always encouraging us to go forward, to take those steps of faith and see what He's going to do in us and through us for His glory. We may be weak, but in the hands of God, we're not. We're mighty men of valor. There's no small calling in God's plans. We were created to live a life that changes this world. That's what we're here for, to change this world, to bring people into the kingdom of God. But we have to walk by faith. Psalm 90, verse 17 says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." In that psalm, Moses is asking God to allow his beauty to be seen in us and to work through us. I love that. Our walk or our life, all that we would do would be fruitful and bring glory to God. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. He's basically saying, Lord, do something in my life that will touch the lives of people on earth and have value in eternity. See, people coming into the kingdom of God has value in eternity. What an amazing chapter here in Joshua this morning. We saw complaining. They thought too highly of themselves. You know, why can't we have this? Look at who we are. And then show yourself strong. Do the work instead of complaining. Okay, here it is. Oh, no, it's too much for us, right? Okay, here's the work. I don't know. No, it's not. It's too much. And then the encouragement to walk by faith, the encouragement that the Lord gives us, it's incredible. Let me close with this story. We're told this: my car broke down and it cost $400 to get it fixed. $400 I didn't have. Why me, Lord? After all, I've been as good as most people. In fact, I've been better than most. Why are you treating me like this? Why are you punishing me this way? Then the TV went on the blink, and so did the dishwasher and the clothes dryer and the lawnmower and even the iron. Why me, Lord? Besides that, why at my age should I still be having financial problems? Why am I not set financially like some others I know? Why have you denied me opportunities for fame and fortune that you have given to others? Why me, Lord? Interesting, huh? He goes on, when I find myself starting to think like this, it sometimes helps for me to ask the same questions about other aspects of my life. Lord, what have I done that's so grand that you should have blessed me with a car, a TV set, a clothes dryer, a lawnmower, and an iron? Why did you give me all these things anyway? Why me, Lord? Lord, why did you permit me to be born in America with all its plenty? I could have been born in poverty-stricken Bangladesh instead of in rich America. Why me, Lord? Lord, why did you give me the opportunity to have a job when so many who are deserving as I are without work? Why me, Lord? Lord, why did you give me good health? Others died at my age of heart attacks or are crippled by accidents or disease. Why should I escape ill health when other religious people do not? Why me, Lord? Lord, why have you spared me from the sorrows that strike so many other families? Others, wonderful people, have lost close relatives, but I haven't. Why me, Lord? When I think of all the ways the Lord has blessed me, though I don't deserve it, I wonder how I could possibly complain about the relatively insignificant things that go wrong in my life from time to time. If I could only learn to count my blessings. If I could only learn to count my blessings. And, you know, it's so easy to complain, but boy, how much better to be thankful for what God has given us. Having hearts filled with thanksgiving to the Lord and see the work that God has done in us, is doing in us, and will do in us. Because the work he started, he's going to complete, right? So he's got more work for us. Praise God, he doesn't give up. You don't give up. You keep walking by faith, trusting in where the Lord is showing you to go, and see what he's going to do in you and through you. Oh, hearts of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I needed to hear that again, Lord. It's so important to have hearts that are filled with thanksgiving and praise unto you. We miss so much of all that you've blessed us with because we focus on the things that we don't have or the troubles we're going through. And I'm not saying that they're easy because many times they're so difficult, so overwhelming. But you never tell us to carry those troubles, those difficulties on our own. You tell us to lay them at your feet because you can handle them and we can't. And to rest in you, to give thanks to you and praise to you. Help us to be men and women who do that, Lord, that when the world looks at us, they see something completely different, that we're people filled with the joy of the Lord. No matter what happens in our life, they see the love we have for you, the joy we have. Thank you, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.